Blog Talk Radio.
Good. I want to say hello to all our friends and family all over the world. We have some brothers and sisters in Pakistan that listen. God bless you. Just want to say hi to you. And our listeners in Los Angeles and just everywhere. God bless you for tuning in and for keeping up with us and as keeping up with the Holy Spirit as we keep up with the Holy Spirit. We're all doing
yes, indeed.
Following Christ. Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, as usual, I want all of you to do what I ask you to do just about every week, actually. I ask you to call your friends and family, pick up your phones, your computers, inbox somebody, tell them to tune in to tonight's program. We're going to have a really good one tonight, and I think you, all of you, including myself, my wife, we're all going to be blessed tonight. And we are looking forward to, hearing our special guests. So here's what you can do. You can tell them to dial in 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can just click on the picture of T. Meyer. You can just click on the picture or the link wherever you see the post of this particular show. Okay. And you'll see it on Facebook, maybe Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. So you either click on the link or click on the picture. Okay. Also, remember that we are on hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life, and we're live on hsbn.tv and on Facebook. So join us on Tuesdays, and I think you'll be blessed. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you'll be blessed. We'll be given the word of God, and you know, we don't hold back. So that's how it goes. You can also find us on other social medias, the Message of Life, on other apps and platforms all throughout the week. Like to name a few, On Demand, Roku, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and many, many more, okay? Just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain. Also, we would like to invite you to come and worship with us. If you're anywhere in the area, of Upland, California, we would like you to stop in and visit. Our location is 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services starts at 1:30 p.m. So if you're in the California, come and visit us, okay? And especially if you live in that area, come and visit. Worship with us. You'll be blessed. Listen, stay right there. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Here's Tithe Tribute. Praise the Lord.
All right. That was something from Ty Tribbett. I guess it was called Glorify You, right, Pastor T? Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to keep moving on. We're waiting for Pastor T to come out of virtual land. So we're going to keep him in prayer as he moves on and gets to the right buttons on there. So we
I'm out of virtual land right now. And I'm about to, wait a minute, hold on. There's something about to happen here. What is this? What's going on? Can you stop? Yep. It's that time, everybody. It's time for a TNT moment. And we're going to start it off. I'm going to ask Pastor Tosilo, what are we talking about today?
Well, we have a question, and someone is asking, is receiving Christ and being born again the same? And I'll tell you this, if you are sincere, when you receive him, I am sure he will make sure you will receive all he wrote for you. And
amen.
Our Father, guys, is so kind. Almost every time I pray, I thank the Lord for his plans as he unfolds them to us. But he has such great plans for us. He didn't just want us to become Christians and just go to church and have a little sermon and a song, and then we go home and all over again. He is doing a great work within each and every person. Those that belong to him, I'll say, not every person, but those that don't belong to him, he's still doing a great work by calling them and probing them and pushing them to come into the kingdom. He's inviting everyone.
Right.
It's for everybody. But it says in Galatians 4:6, and so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts. Now, that's a mouthful right there. And so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, knowing that is so big, moving us to cry out intimately, our Father, our true Father. They that know him truly speak intimately with him, with understanding of who we are to him and who he is to us. We are the sons of God, and Jesus is the first of the true born of the new creation of many family members. So back to what I always tell you, when you enter the kingdom, the only requirement to get in is for God, our Father, to see Jesus in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the first of his brethren, and you are required to be born again. That's God's new creation. You have to take on the Spirit of the Lord. God is telling us to come from out of the sixth nature, the fallen nature, the nature that Adam fell back into and of your parents, and bring you into his glorious, perfect sevenfold nature. That's what Adam had before he fell, backwards. Once I was at a conference filled with many people who profess Christendom, waving flags, dancing, running through the aisles, but many of them were not born again. They received Christ, but were not baptized through water and the Holy Spirit. You see, many times we get a large group of people together that might have confessed Christ, but truly have not received the new birth through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it speaks on this in Acts 19. Paul was given a lot more understanding on these matters. It says, while Apollo was ministering in Corinthians, he came upon a group of 12 followers of Jesus. The first thing Paul asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became a believer? No, they replied, we've not even heard of a Holy Spirit. Paul asked them, what was the meaning of your baptism then? They said, it means that we follow John's teachings. And Paul replied, John's baptism was for those who were turning from their sins. And he taught you to believe in following the one who was coming after him. Jesus, the anointed one, is the one we're talking about. And when they understood this, they were baptized into the authority, it says, of Jesus. Once they understood, they were baptized into authority of Jesus, the anointed one. And Paul was asking, into what name or authority were you baptized? John's baptism was a baptism of grace to the people. But with Jesus, it is a baptism of authority and into sonship. Into the name of Jesus, who was greater than John and the first of the new creation of many sons. And when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Paul apparently knew way more regarding the meaning of the new birth. This correction Paul made in the body is one that is needed today. And I see stadiums of so-called Christians that are not born again is just filled to the hills and without the leading of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you got to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher and is the one that will lead us into all truth. Now, Paul is giving them through the Holy Spirit the revelation and prophecy, the revelation of who Jesus is, and through our testifying testimony, we hold the spirit of prophecy also. And as we all begin to see Christ clearly, we, with unveiled faces, like 2 Corinthians says, 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image. Whoo! I told you God is doing great work.
That's something.
It says
that's deep.
We're transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So we are always revolving around him until we become the full manifestation of what he is, a true son of God.
Yes.
Jesus says last prayer was for us to be one with them in John 17. And I love that prayer. And the Word and the Holy Spirit, he said, will bring us into full sonship. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet have been made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Back to the only requirement and ticket into the kingdom of heaven is for the Father to see Jesus in you. You must be fully born again. And Jesus hit that, and he hit it running with Nicodemus. And it seems like as much as Christ addressed that, I don't hear it anymore. It's like you could come to church, you could say you gave me life, but then the church is stagnant, is not moving, because the Holy Spirit does the work within us, and it brings us into our maturity as we submit to it. But if we don't have a Holy Ghost to submit to, then you're just marking time in the same place.
Right.
And then I saw a group of people the other day, and one of the speakers said, who feels that they're not moving? They're stagnant. They're not. The whole church stood up. And that was a shame, because the church they were in, this man preaches very well. I mean, he feeds his flock. It's not like he's not feeding. He feeds them so well. I kind of listen like, that's pretty good there. He does a good job. But when he asks, who here is feeling like you're not moving, you're stagnant, because the Holy Ghost is not stagnant. The Lord is always moving. He's always doing
yes.
something. And if you're in his face, he's in your face. You're about his business, he's about your business. And he's always unveiling things and making things known and taking us to new heights and new levels and moving us. But I kid you not, nearly the whole church stood up, and I was in shock. But I know a lot of people aren't being taught that they have to submit to the Holy Spirit and allow God to do his work within them. A lot of people just want to give their lives to the Lord and say they gave their lives to the Lord and then live like the devil the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Move on and do as they please. And whatever is in the imagination of their own heart, that's the type of Christianity that they want to live. But God already has a blueprint for how this is going to go. And that's why Jesus said, oh, excuse me, guy, you don't have on the right apparel. The Holy Ghost will help the bride make herself ready where she will have on the right apparel. And the only apparel is going to work is Jesus. Right, Brother T?
Amen.
We got
that's
to put
absolutely
on Christ.
Correct. Put him on. Put him on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to continue to answer the question, is receiving Christ and being born again the same? After this, we'll be right back. In the meantime, we want everybody to have the victory. Yolanda. All right. We got the victory. You're listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And the question was asked, is receiving Christ and being born again the same? Well, we can't be born again unless we receive Christ. But let's examine being born again. You see, it's a lot deeper than a lot of people think. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5. He said, except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is Jesus telling us? Because even Nicodemus didn't understand this. He is saying that we must be literally born of the Spirit of God. Jesus went on to make it clear by using the wind as an example of people who are fully born again, born of the Spirit of God. John 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth or where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. You don't know where it came from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Once again, Lord, what are you trying to say? We are born again. When we're born again, we enter into eternity with Jesus. Therefore, just like the wind, nobody can tell, you know, just like the wind, you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. So we have no beginning of days and no end of life, because we have stepped into eternity with Jesus. Now I'm talking about when you're fully born again. We'll go on into that in a few minutes. Jesus is letting us know that we cannot be born of human flesh and enter into the kingdom realm of God. We must be changed. A real body, soul, and mind change. This must happen before we are even able to enter into God's kingdom. And I'm saying fully enter into his kingdom. You see, we can get bits and pieces, the earnest of our inheritance of his kingdom, as we walk our walk, our Christian walk, and we're able to see beautiful things of God's kingdom and so forth. But I'm talking about to fully enter in and live there forever. You see, it's important first that we have God's DNA in us. We must have his eternal substance in us. We must be changed. Even Paul received this revelation when he said in 1 Corinthians 15:50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Paul realized that our fallen natured mortal flesh and blood bodies could never enter into God's kingdom realm and dwell there forever. It was a revelation given to him by God himself. Paul called it a mystery in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery, a hidden secret. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. You may not die, but you will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. For this corruptible, these bodies we're in right now, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The kingdom realm of God is another dimension, another realm, another atmosphere, a whole nother place in God's everlasting and eternal heavenly spiritual realm. And our natural bodies cannot enter in. So the end result of truly being fully and completely born again is change. Resurrection change. Change into what? Not change into what, but changed into who? We are to be changed into the pure likeness and image of the glorified Jesus Christ, which means we can no longer die. We can no longer sin. We can no longer be destroyed at all. Now, when we receive Christ in our life, like now, when we receive Christ in our life, that's the first step into our new birth. Like my wife said, you don't just stay in one place. You constantly move forward. We are not fully born again yet. Everybody, I'm sorry to disappoint you. You're not fully born again, but we have started the born again process. But it has to be completed. We're on our way. Make no mistake about it. And the more you stay with Jesus and hold on to him and stay on that straight and narrow pathway, you will be fully born again. Christians are immediately required to grow. As soon as you receive Christ in your life, you are immediately required to grow. We are not to be stagnant. Every Christian is on his way to being fully born again. When we believe and accept Jesus in our lives, we are immediately saved. We're saved, which means we're delivered. Delivered from what? Delivered from the wrath of God, which is coming, by the way. We shall be delivered from this fallen nature, earthly body, and everything that comes with it. This is what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him with your mouth, speak it, and shall believe in your heart. He's talking really believe, not just saying words, but really in your heart, believe that God raised them from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. You will be delivered. Paul said you shall be saved, not born again, but saved. When we receive Jesus, we do what Peter said for us to do in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. You see, we have to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And many of us have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we still haven't got that in fullness. We have the earnest of our inheritance. That is a portion. God hasn't poured out his Spirit upon all flesh yet. And although you have received the Lord, repented, and have even received a portion of the Holy Spirit, you are still saved, not born again, not yet. Hold on, though. Hold on. Why do you say, you know, you probably ask him, Pastor, I don't understand. Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that I'm not born again? I'm a born-again Christian. I don't know. I'm saying that because you can still sin. We can still stumble. We still carry the curse of this fallen natured body. We still have pain, sorrow, sicknesses, disease, anger, depression, and all the things that relate to and is a part of your mental and physical condition that's contained in this body, in these fallen natured bodies. That's why we must pray, stay strong, stay under God's protective wings. We have to keep flesh from rising up and repent often. But when you're born again, you do not sin. You can't sin because you have been changed completely. You can't die once you are born again. You live in your celestial, resurrected, glorified body. To be born again completely, now I'm talking completely born again. Remember, we're in the process. We're on our way. We're in the process. But to be finished completely, complete, means to move forward to another level, a level that requires our DNA to change into God's DNA so that we can be changed totally. Then we are able to enter into God's kingdom realm, a realm where you never die, a realm where you live forever. Peter said that we must be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus is that incorruptible seed. And every Christian that has received Christ has his seed in them. But it must be activated. That incorruptible seed that God has placed within all of us must be activated so it can grow. It has to grow and keep growing until Christ is fully formed in us. So keep that in mind. Are a Christian. You are saved, but you are not finished developing. No more than a newborn child has finished developing into a grown man or a grown woman. We're babies, and we're still developing. You must continue to grow so when you receive Christ, you can say that, you know, you can actually say that I'm born again by faith. You can say that, and it's good for us to say that and hold on to our faith and say, yeah, I'm born again. But in reality, you were born again out of the world, but into the church. Now you must be born again out of the church and into God's everlasting and eternal kingdom realm. We must keep growing, Christians. We must be changed. Christians, we are all about to truly be born again to the place that you see it and the world can see it completely and totally, not just in word, you know, how we always say, I'm born again, not just saying that, you know. Christians, we are going to be literally born again. Changed, literally changed. That's what born again means. It means changed. We still have another level to change into, as it is written in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Aha! He said it doesn't appear what we shall be. What is that telling us? It means that we're going to become something. We're going to change into something. But we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him. We will be changed into his full likeness and image, for we shall see him as he is. Before we can see him in his true image, we must be changed into his true image. Then we are able to live forever in God's loving kingdom. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. We'll be right back with our special guest. Don't go away. Here's my girl, Cece.
Power.
listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Our special guest today is Apostle Eddie Maestas. I'm sorry. Eddie Maestas is our special guest today. And believe me, he is really a true man of God, and I'm so honored. My wife and I are really honored to know this man. Let me tell you a little bit about him first. Apostle Eddie is the founder of Love and Unity Movement, building relationships with fivefold ministry gifts. And we know that the fivefold ministry is that of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We are hoping to hear more about that movement tonight. Also, Apostle Eddie he's the apostle of Kingdom Family Network, which, of course, I'm hoping to hear a few more details on that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Apostle Eddie Maestas. Hello, Apostle. How are you today?
Good, good. Hello, pastors. How are you?
Good. How are
Very
you?
Very good.
Good. It's good to be with you.
Excited. Good, and we're excited to have you here with us. You know, first we kind of wanted to know a little bit more about you. Maybe let us know how you got into the ministry. How'd you get saved? You know, you can even take us back to your childhood if you want to. But tell us a little bit more about you.
Well. Can you hear me okay? I'm sure you could.
Yeah, I can
really
hear you now.
Good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I got saved almost this September. It'll be 43 years that I've been saved and that I've been in ministry for 43 years.
Mm.
I grew up in Watts, and we moved from Watts to Baldwin Park, California. And my father died at a young age of suicide of drugs. And my mom was left with four kids to raise. And she got remarried to my stepfather, and he was an MP Marine. And he was a tough person. But at a young age, I had a hard time with him and became very rebellious towards the family and began to live a life of drugs and alcohol and gang violence. And I got pretty bad, started doing drugs when I was 13 years old. And when I was about 18, I had an experience with God. My mom has started going to church because she didn't know what to do with me. And my aunt invited her to church and said, you need to get to church so you can pray for your son. Because my mom was afraid that I was going to end up dead, just like my father ended up dead. So she went to church and got saved in South El Monte at a little old Pentecostal church, and got full of the Holy Ghost the first day she got saved. And from that point, our whole family began to change. Mama began to pray day and night. I'd come home all loaded, messed up, and I'd hear her praying in her room. And I just thought she was a crazy woman that, you know, just got depressed and went off the deep end. And used to make fun of her while she was in there praying. And Mama knew how to get a hold of God. And she'd come out when I'd come home all loaded, messed up, and she'd start rebuking the devil, saying, get out of here, devil. You're not welcome in my house. And scared the heck out of me. But she said, I know God's called you to the ministry because he told me, and I'm not going to stop praying till God delivers you well. When I got 16 years of age, they made me make a choice. If you're going to live in this house, you can't live doing drugs and coming in all hours of the night. So if that's the way you're going to live, you cannot stay here. So I decided to leave and begin to live in the neighborhood.
And
by the time I was 18, I was living in the streets and hooked on drugs really bad. And one night, about 2, 3 in the morning, I didn't want to live no more. I was living in a park. Mm. I was depressed. I didn't know how to get free. But my mom took me to church a few times when I was being rebellious. I went and I heard the preacher preach. I'd never been in a Christian church before. We were raised Catholics. And went into this Christian church, and I heard the preacher say that if you ever really want to change your life, the Bible says he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you'll call upon the Lord, no matter where you're at, what you're doing, he'll be there to save you. So as I was lost in darkness, I decided I was going to take my life. I didn't want to live no more. And in Baldwin Park Boulevard, I got out in the middle of the street and started throwing myself in front of cars. In that street, the cars go pretty fast. Well, I just so happened to throw myself in front of a police car. And that police car called other police, and they had to really tie me down because I was on drugs. I didn't feel nothing. And they put me in a straitjacket and took me to a mental hospital in South Almani. And tied me down to a bed and told my mom, they called her and told her that your son's in bad shape. We think he took too many drugs, and we don't know if he's ever going to come back because I couldn't talk. They thought that my brain had become a vegetable brain. And while I was laying there on that bed, I could hear them talk. I just couldn't talk myself. And all of a sudden, I remember what the preacher said. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in my heart, I cried out to God on that bed. I said, God, I'm calling out to you like this preacher said. And if you can, God, I ask you to save me and deliver me today. And right there in that bedroom, that place, they had me locked in. It was a concrete wall and a bed and a straitjacket. I cried out to God, and I literally felt God come into that room that day and tell me he loves me. And just I could feel the presence of God in that hospital bed. Instantly, my mind came back. Instantly, I was able to talk. And while I was there, the doctors came in, and I started talking to the doctors, and they looked at me like, what? We just came in here a few minutes ago, and this kid couldn't talk. He was a vegetable, and now he's talking, and he's making sense, and he knows who he is. And they took the straitjacket off me. And when they took the straitjacket off me, I was still a little crazy. I jumped up and took off running out of that hospital. And one day when I was at church with my mom, there was a man by the name of Richard who went to that church. And nobody in the church talked to me because I was dressed up like a hoodlum and acting all crazy. But this man came up and talked to me and said, he says, Eddie, if you ever need me, he says, I'm going to write my number on this little paper and you call me and I'll come and get you wherever you're at. Well, I put that paper in my wallet for 2 years before I called this man. When I took off running out of that hospital, I went to a phone booth. Phone booth back then, you had to put a dime in, and today. And I put a dime in, and I called Richard, and Richard came and picked me up at that phone booth, took me to his house. I got down on my knees in his living room and gave my life to Jesus. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I'll tell you, he instantly delivered me and set me free from drugs and alcohol and gang violence. I had so much hate and anger inside of me. And then from there, 2 weeks later, I end up in Bible school. 2 weeks later, I was so hungry for God, and I wanted the Lord so bad, they put me in a Bible school called Latin American Bible Institute. It's Assembly of God Bible School, and that's all I knew because my mom was going to an Assembly of God church. So I went there, and I got there and started studying like you wouldn't believe. I was studying morning, noon, and night, and there was just such a transformation in my life and I knew God came into that room and delivered me, I was ready to go tell everybody what Jesus did in my life. And while I was going to Bible school, a friend of mine that I used to hang out with was a gang member, and he called me and says, "Hey, Eddie, I heard you're going to church and that you're going to Bible school." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, let me tell you what happened to me last night." He says, "You know, I'm married, and my wife started taking off every Sunday and every midweek telling me she was going to church. And I started saying, man, nobody could go to church that much. This lady's going to church all the time. She's got to be having an affair on me or something because she's always taking off saying she's going to church." So he followed her one day and met her at a church where she was at, and just so happened that the Holy Ghost fell on him, and he got a gun. He was going to kill somebody because he thought his wife was going to be with the man. He was going to kill this person. And went there with the gun to the church, and God delivered him and saved him. He gave his life to Jesus at the church and surrendered his life. Then he calls me and says, "Can you do me a favor?" He says, "I just got saved. Can you come to my house and give Bible studies?" I said, "Man, I've only been saved a few months. I only know John 3:16, you know, but I'm going to Bible school. But we could go and we could fellowship." And he says, "All right." He goes, "Come to my house." Well, his house was the house where all the gang members hung out and partied all night. Matter of fact, he had a big old block wall in front of his house because he used to get shot up every single night. And that's the house that he wanted me to go to give a Bible study at. So I go to this house, and this house has a garage that we used to all party in. And when I get there, all the neighborhood is there in the house, in the garage, partying. They all know me.
What?
And calling me in.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there, and they know I'm coming to give a Bible study. I give the Bible study. Everyone in that garage got saved and born again that night. There was at least 25 gangsters in the night.
And
that's how I started my first church.
Oh,
and God delivered so many, and I pioneered my first church at 19 years old, and God saved, healed, and delivered, and that's how I got going in the ministry 43 years ago.
Praise the Lord. What a beautiful story.
That is,
so are the gangsters still attracted to you? You know, since was your ministry?
Yeah.
You
know,
still bringing them in?
Oh, yeah. We're always out in the streets reaching people. We were an inner city ministry for years, still are, reaching people in the streets, getting people saved. I ran rehab centers for over 30 years. For men and women. My mom and dad, I pioneered a church in Santa Maria, California. My mom and dad were my associate pastors there in Baldwin Park, the first church I started. Then I started doing a Bible study in Santa Maria. Somebody heard one of my messages and started doing Bible studies with one of my cassette tapes. And they would have Bible study every single week in Santa Maria, and then asked me if I'd go down. So I went down. And, man, she had a house full of people, and we started giving Bible study. I started driving every week from Baldwin Park after I preached there at the morning. I'd go down there and preach in Santa Maria, which is a 3.5-hour drive, and preach at night. I did that for a whole year. And then my mom and dad were my associates, so I asked them if they wanted to go down there and pastor that church. Well, they did. Now they've been pastoring there for 33 years. In Santa Maria, California. And they got a ranch going, and we opened up a women's center where they could bring in their kids. They got blessed with a 25-acre ranch, so the kids and the moms and everybody were able to go there. So we were taking people out of the inner city and sending them down there to the ranch in Santa Maria where God would work with them. And my mom, she's a Holy Ghost devil caster, so she'd bring these young ladies in full of the devil, cast the devil out of them, and get them free and get them delivered. Hallelujah. And she's 80 years old, and she's still doing it today.
Amen.
She's still, my father passed away about 5 years ago, But my mom's still casting out devils and prophesying. So, and she, now my brother is pastoring that church out there along with my mom. And it's been a great work there in Santa Maria.
Amen.
Called Power of God.
That is beautiful. I love
yeah,
that. That's beautiful.
Good. He's been good. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, you know, you were talking about earlier being saved and being born again. It's powerful because I don't think people understand that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot see.
Right.
They don't realize that when you become born again, that the kingdom of God is now within you. But in order for it to begin to come forth where you can see it and rule and reign by it, they don't first recognize that the kingdom is Christ himself. It's his kingdom. It's the manifested Christ that comes in us, and it's his kingdom that's within us. It's him himself. And when he begins to fully manifest in our life through the transforming power of God, then the kingdom starts to rule and reign out of our lives. And we begin to take dominion where God, in the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth, he put Adam as his first son in the earth because God always wanted a family, and he put his family on the earth as his son, including Eve, because Adam and Eve were both come out of the same birth because woman was within a man. So when God says sons, it means male and female. And when God created them, he put them in the garden, which represented the kingdom, to rule and to reign. He said, be in my likeness, my image, and he would rule and reign. Well, when they got deceived, they began to be blinded, not because they didn't have it no more. It's because they got deceived where they could not see it anymore. They could not see who they were. They could not see their identity. They could not see that they were in the likeness and image of Christ. So when the second Adam came, which was Christ, he came to cause us to begin to see again. See what?
Yes.
See who we are and what we were born again to be in the likeness and the image of Christ as sons of God in the earth to manifest his glory. And the Bible says all the earth is groaning and travailing even to this day, waiting for the true manifestations of the sons of God to do what? To deliver this world from its corruption. From its corruption. So it takes sonship to deliver this earth from its darkness and its evil. When God put Adam and Eve on the earth, he moved back the waters, he removed the darkness, and he created a place for them to rule and to reign in. And when they got deceived, it opened the door for darkness to come back into the earth. But now that Christ is in us, now his light is to remove the darkness that came from the first Adam and bring us back into the fullness of life. So all of us now could be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, removing the darkness and the corruption of righteousness from the earth.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love
it. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Praise
that's
God.
Good.
That's why
really
I love your opening. I love your opening. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've raised up many churches, many sons in the kingdom, started many churches. And I didn't know what I know today, of course, when I first got saved. I didn't understand kingdom. I didn't understand fivefold. I didn't understand the apostolic. I didn't understand a lot of things that the church was no longer operating in. The church had became really a secular church instead of the church that Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That word church there is the word ecclesia. So he will build his ecclesia, and his ecclesia shall be able to bind and loose on the earth. Why? Because the ecclesia is now God's legislative body in the earth, legislating God's will and God's purpose in the earth. So the church has gone
absolutely
to the ecclesia, and the church has become mixed with the kingdoms of this world. And you can't mix the kingdoms of this world with the kingdom of God. So now we are in a time of reformation where God is reforming his church back to his ecclesia so we can legislate as the body of Christ in the earth and bring forth the whole earth back into God's original purpose and plan from the very beginning, which is to bring man to his likeness and his image. The Bible says his glory shall fill the whole earth, shall fill the whole earth. I'm tired of people talking doom and gloom. Oh, we're in the last days, the end of the world. I said, let me share with you what the Bible says. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. The world don't belong to the devil. The world systems belong to the devil, but the world don't belong to the devil. Somebody told me the other day, he says, well, the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. That world he's talking about is the world systems, the kingdoms of this world, the religious system of the world. But the world itself, the cosmos, the earth, the people, it belongs to God. It all belongs
and
to God.
And the sun, the moon, and everything.
Everything belongs to the Lord.
And that's why when God got to Revelations, he said for us to come out. Come out of her. You know, he doesn't want us in that system. But the church is totally mingled into the world system. They don't realize it. And God wants us out of that. He wants us to be in a maturity in him and a unity him and with each other. That's another of it, too.
Well, you know, we speak of sonship. There's really several levels of sonship. You come in as a baby, like you guys were talking about earlier. You come in as a baby. You don't know anything, but then you develop. You begin to transform into a fully developed son. And the mature son that the Bible talks about is a word called weos, the full weos of God, was the full maturity of Christ in you. And many people today, they go to church not to become mature sons. They go to church out of religious duty. They go to church because it makes them feel better. They go to church to see what they could get, or they go to church to be entertained. But we're supposed to be going to church to get equipped to become the people of God that walk in the full measure, the full stature of Christ, which means is to come into full maturity as sons, so we become the sons of God in the earth, and then we can say, as he is, so are we in this world. So God has given a son so we could represent his son as the son manifested in the earth to represent our heavenly Father in heaven, so that thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. That is so true, Pastor Eddie.
Yes, so true.
And flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. I love it.
Right.
I'm excited. Oh, God.
Yes.
Did you find very few people that flesh and blood did not reveal that to you? That comes straight from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
From the Lord. That's beautiful.
Yeah. We are in a time of reformation. To reform means to reposition, to reestablish, to bring back to original intent. And the church has gone away from God's original intent. And God's original intent and even the pattern of his church is not what it was is not what it was when the church first started. When the church first started, it started with apostles. And apostles begin to minister in regions and territories and begin to get people saved and born again. And they, first thing the apostles did was raise up sons.
Mm-hmm.
And when they raised up sons, they would set them in cities and regions like he did Titus. And he said, Titus, I'm going to put you here. Now you set in order the things that are lacking and set elders in this location. And the church has gone away from that pattern. So we're no longer making disciples. We're no longer raising up sons. We're no longer being the kingdom of God. Now we have just become a system that's called church, that is a system built by secularism and by man, and not the original pattern that God gave us at the beginning of how to establish true church in the earth today.
Yeah, that's right. Well said.
That is so
I can only
true.
Say a church that doesn't follow Jesus Christ. I only know these are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. If we're not following Christ, then we're creating our own path and our own systems.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I'll
and
tell
you, that's why the church is so divided. That's why there's so much different doctrine. That's why there's thousands of denominations. There's competition. There's jealousy. There's independent of one another.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be one body. The Bible says there's only one Father, one Son, one Holy Ghost, and there's supposed to be one body. But instead, we made it a church of many bodies, many denominations, independent of one another, and everybody's fighting over doctrine. Everybody's fighting over who's the big dog in the city now, who's the main preacher, you know, who's got the biggest church. And we're following the size of people's churches instead of following God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Say it.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That
yes.
is true. And the church has become like a mafia. You have to pay to play. You can't even get in. You can't eat unless, we were approached a couple of weeks back by a group of people who said, who are you guys under? We said, the Holy Spirit. No, who is your covering? Who's over you? Jesus. I never heard of none of these things they were asking us. You need a covering. You need to come up under us and be. Well, I'm like, well, we've been out here for 40-something years, and the Lord never gave us those instructions. You know, but I understand partnering unity and love and doing things together, but I don't understand that concept that they were coming with, because we always followed the Holy Spirit and allowed the Lord to tell us what to do. So
I was raised in that mentality that you have to have covering. My covering is God. He's the one that called me. He's the one that gifted me. Now I do believe
Amen.
That it's wise to have senior people around you for accountability purpose, because I also believe we have too many preachers out there that are not really called. We have too many people out there saying they're apostles and prophets that are not. Nowadays, anybody could be an apostle, prophet, or pastor, and there's
we
no
know
accountability. But there's a process that God gives us, and that process is to be commissioned by the apostles, not to control, not to cover, but to give accountability and to give relationship. It's all about relationship. Mm-hmm. The apostles had relationship with one another, and through that relationship, there came forth accountability. There came forth where we were able to help each other, teach each other, grow from one another, learn from one another, and that produced maturity in us that we needed to be what God's calling us to be. But too many, you know, some guy told me the other day, well, I have 100 sons. And I said, how could you have 100 sons under your covering, given accountability? You probably don't even know half of their names or numbers. It's impossible.
Right.
Jesus only had 12. And he imparted himself. He preached to the multitudes, but he discipled the 12. And he imparted himself into them. And through their company, there came accountability. There came structure. there came order, there came alignment, that all of them were able to grow from one another as they came together as the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Unity.
It's through unity. The Bible says, how can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you? It can't.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to sever your hand from your body, guess what? Your hand would wither away. It needs the arm.
Mm-hmm.
It needs the shoulder. It needs the body in order for it to be alive, in order for it to function, in order for it to have blood, in order for it to operate. It has to be tied to all the nerves and the ligaments and the blood. So when people say, I don't need the body and I don't need accountability, what you're saying is you are not connected to the body. Because we do need accountability, not for control, not to have hierarchy, not to say I'm greater than you, but out of love for one another, we bring accountability to one another, because the arm helps the hand, and the hand helps the arm, and the arm helps the shoulder, and together we're able to grow, to mature, and to establish what God has called us to establish in the earth.
Pastor Eddie, you spoke on your father that was ahead of you, who brought you into the ministry. Who was that?
No, I got into ministry first, and then I put my stepfather and mother as my associate pastors.
But who was that? That was, you were accountable to in the ministry.
No. I was accountable to an individual by the name of Dr. Bob Lemon. He was out of Michigan. He became a spiritual father like one to me, and I became a son to him. Now, back in those days, the systems that were operating in the church was more control and hierarchy than it was anything. And that system, God allowed it to take place, and it did cause a lot of good, but it became too controlling and too hierarchy, where it was all about the guy on the top, and that's all the guy on the top cared about was him, bringing everybody to give him all the money, bringing everybody to make him famous, bringing everybody to make him look great. And that's not what God's system is about. Matter of fact, the apostles and the prophets are their foundation. God's kingdom is bottom up, not top down. It's to push people up, to push people into their destiny, and to bring people into the fullness of what they're called to do, not try to get people to only support us and what we're called to do. But my spiritual father and myself, we had to learn these things through our relationship. I was with him for 35 years. And together, he learned how to be a father, and I learned how to be a son. But through that process, we were able to break off old wineskins and old wine that was of old system that was created by man and really wasn't the pattern of the kingdom of God. And we begin to learn the pattern of the kingdom or the ecclesia of the church, the way God established it. I don't believe anybody should go into ministry without being commissioned into ministry by seasoned leaders that they've been accountable to. But at the same time, too, no man ever calls anybody. That man is called by God and gifted by God. All the senior leaders are meant to do is to give recognition to what God's already given them and gifted them for.
Right. Now, we were under a ministry for 35 years before we even came into our own ministry. And the man of God that was over us, he's the one that actually all the things that we kind of know about real, true new birth and all that, he kind of taught us a lot of good things, I have to say, bless his soul. And before he passed, he said a word to me. He said, all the things that the Lord has shown you in secret, you will be displaying it openly as, you know, to doing ministry and bringing some of the things. God, at one point, we couldn't even talk about the things that we are all talking about openly right now. And you would be cut down.
I remember those
that
days
we said on this phone tonight between your ministry and our ministry. You would have been ousted if you had a spoken things that were saying. Because
back
you know
the
way
you
people
talk to the other ministries. you weren't able to associate with other churches or other leaders, or they would excommunicate you. Matter of fact, when I was with the Assemblies of God and I started this work in Baldwin Park, I went to them and said, hey, man, I led a lot of people to the Lord here in this garage, and they want me to start having Bible studies and starting a church. And they said, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean I can't do that? I said, I got a whole lot of people here saved and gangsters and members, and I can relate to them, and I'm helping them. They said, shut it down. I said, shut it down?
What?
These people all just got saved. They said, you're out of order. You can't have that authority unless we give you that authority. And I said, well, you know what? You could say maybe I'm still immature or don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I started the church, and they got upset and X'd me out of the Assemblies. They kicked me out of the Assemblies of God. And, you know, it was a tough time for me because I didn't know what was going on. But that's the kind of system that was being ran back then in the body of Christ.
Right.
Very controlled, very hierarchy. It was controlled even by people who didn't even have a calling. They were just in men who wanted to be in charge and to rule over the churches. And God had to cut me away from all that nonsense. I started the journey. And then back in 2007, I didn't even in the 20s, I didn't even know back in 1995, I had no clue what an apostle was or the kingdom was. But I came up with a group of guys from England who were preaching kingdom, who were preaching sonship, who were preaching the apostolic, the fivefold ministry gift. So I started learning from them. And then they came down and recognized me. I had several prophets and apostles come in 2007 and put me in as an apostle. Now, when they put me in as an apostle, all hell broke loose. I started going through stuff like I never thought I could go through. And then when I started learning kingdom and preaching kingdom, then I really started going through it. And I had to transition the church I was pastoring at that time from an old system of old wineskins into a present-day pattern of really New Testament church, which was to begin to build it for the kingdom and not making the ministry my kingdom, but letting the ministry be used to establish his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That is another key that you just spoke of. Oh, not your kingdom, but the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For years, I was building my own kingdom, not purposely. I just didn't know it. I mean, I was building my ministry, my church, you know, my. And those are my people, and it's my building, and God had to deliver me and say, no, it's not yours, it's mine.
That's right.
And I had to get stripped of a lot of thinking and a lot of behaviors and a lot of ways, and God had to strip me down to nothing. I almost had to start like all over again because he had to remove the old so I could step into the new and be able to obey God to build the way he's calling me to build today.
Right.
So the turmoil that you said you went through, was it because of you coming out of the systems, the church system, and speaking kingdom?
I went from Assembly of God to Charismatic to Word of Faith and then to Independent, where I just said the heck with everybody. I'm just going to build my church and do what God's called me to do, and I don't need nobody. I don't want nobody bothering me. And I had to go through that process, and then God had to strip all that from me. And he did, and it wasn't nice. And that's when he began to lead me into what I'm doing now, which is the Love and Unity movement. And he began to show me. I had a vision back in, I think it was 1997, while I was preaching, God showed me this dark, dark regional area was just pitch dark. But in this darkness, I saw drug addicts. I saw gang members. I saw parents beating each other up. I saw kids crying and screaming. I saw evil all over the city, all over the region. And this is, I saw this while I was preaching a message at a church. And then all of a sudden, I saw this little light show up in the midst of darkness. But the light was only a little light, and it could not change anything by itself. But then all of a sudden, another light came, and another light came. And as the lights began to gather, all of a sudden, the light became greater than the darkness in that region. And when I looked again, the husband and wife weren't fighting. They were hugging each other. When I looked in again, the drug addict was no longer a drug addict. He was delivered. When I looked again, the kids were no longer scared and afraid, but they were happy and they were rejoicing. And God gave me this vision back in 1997. And from that point, he started to prepare me and equip me and train me to begin to start this movement that I'm in now. And then in 2003, a prophet by the name of Chuck Flynn came to me and said, God has called you to set up presbyteries all over the nation that would represent his kingdom and will not be like the current church system that is operating today. And it will be all about advancing the kingdom, bringing the fivefold together to operate as God's governments in the earth to bring forth his rule and reign again. And at that time, I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I just said, okay. And then God started to strip me of everything, and I mean everything. And I went through some really hardships and some really painful things in my life. And God began to break Eddie Maestas so I could become what he really called me to become. And a little over 3.5 years ago, God had been calling me to start this Love and Unity a long time ago, and I kept resisting. I don't want to deal with a bunch of ministers. I don't want to just do this, God. I'll just pastor. I'll just be a good pastor. And God kept calling me to this, and I kept rejecting it. And the more I rejected, the more I was going through. So one day I said, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. I said, but who's going to come to a Love and Unity meeting? I mean, you can't get people to come to a conference because you're going to talk about love and unity. You get people to come to a conference because you're going to talk about wealth. You're going to talk about growing your church. You're going to talk about prophets. And you'll get people to come. But if you're going to just talk about love and unity, ain't nobody going to come. And he says, just go ahead and set it up. And I'm going to do it. So I said, all right. So I sent out a message to all the ministers I knew and said, we're going to have a gathering here in Pomona, California. And God has called us out of love for one another. And I invite you all to come so we can start to learn to love one another as ministers of the gospel. So I put out the invite. The first invite had over 100 ministers showed up to that first meeting. And I said, oh, my God, it had to be God because I could have never done that. And God had to speak to hearts. And we did. We had our first one. It was packed out. People were loving it. And then God began to give me the strategy for it of how to set it up across the nation. And then he said, I want you to do something. He says, I want you to build a council around you of strong, seasoned apostles and prophets, because you're a strong man. And the only way I can get you to stay on track is I got to get you to put other strong people around you that you would hold each other accountable. I want you to build a council, a company of apostles and prophets. So I did that. I built a company of apostles and prophets, people who knew more than me, people that were more experienced than me, people that were more mature than me, people that have been around a lot longer so they could speak into my life and we could begin to build this movement across the nation. So we did. We built a senior council of seasoned men and women of God, and together we started to build this across the nation. And now We are all across the nation. We're in other countries as well. Probably have over 250 ministers that come on a regular basis listening to the Love and Unity. We have a Zoom call Monday through Friday, every day of the week, with ministers that are on, 20 to 30 to 40 ministers on every Zoom, every day of the week. They get together to rebuild relationships, to fellowship, to love one another, to learn from one another, support. It's happening all across the nation. And now we're getting ready, or we just launched our own TV network. So now we have a Love and Unity broadcast TV network that all that we're preaching on there is the kingdom of God, and it's filling up fast. So now we're going all over the nation and the world through our TV broadcast, and God is just bringing us powerful apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, and we're all preaching and teaching kingdom, sonship, fivefold ministry gift, preaching it, hallelujah, and bringing accurate doctrine back to the body of Christ.
Amen. So praise
Pastor
the Lord,
Amy,
and you know we're running out of time.
Anybody,
we got about 22 seconds left. We're running out of time, Pastor Eddie. We're going to have to ask you to come back to our program sometime soon, because you're such a blessing to all of us, and I knew it was going to be a blessing. But anyway, I got about 5 seconds. Good night, everybody. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for all your wisdom, Pastor Eddie. God bless you. Good night.
God bless you. Good night.